Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now. All right, let's get to know new Huskies men's basketball coach Danny Sprinkle with Scott Gerard. Scott's the play-by-play voice for Utah State Hoops. He joins us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Scott, how's it going?
I'm good. I just found out this morning that this will be my, coming up next year, will be my eighth year doing play-by-play for Utah State and my fifth basketball coach. So the turnover is always high here at Utah State.
Yeah, I have some separate questions later in the interview about that in general, since we're watching here locally, I guess, statewide, Kyle Smith leaving. But I'm going to start with learning a bit more about Danny Sprinkle. You only had him there for one season. What were your early impressions of him?
Well, he got thrown into a really difficult situation, and I think that's why he's appealing to the University of Washington and so many other schools that came calling, is the fact that that roster was absolutely gutted. It was a good team last year. They were an NCAA tournament team under Ryan Odom, who left to VCU. Ryan took several players with him to VCU. A couple other players hit the portal, and then other players just ran out of eligibility. So he had to completely rebuild the roster with no returning points on that team and essentially no returning minutes. He had a walk-on that got a few minutes. But other than that, there were no returning points at all and a couple of redshirt players holding over from last year's team. So that was it. So he had to rebuild a roster on the fly. They hired him late. It was after the Final Four. So a lot of the quality players had already been gobbled up in the transfer portal. And so he built that roster from scratch and ended up winning for the first time ever an outright conference championship and a win in the NCAA tournament for the first time Utah State has had one of those since 2001. So fabulous head coach. You knew it immediately with him. And look, I'm not blowing smoke. I know I'm on the air up there in Seattle, but this dude's a winner. And I know that Husky fans are a little frustrated with the overall direction of that program right now, but that dude is a grinder. He's going to work his butt off. He's good in the community. He'll work well with boosters. He'll work well with the media. You'll absolutely love him up there. I cannot give this guy a bigger endorsement of who he is as a person and as a coach. And I think Husky fans are in for an absolute joy with him leading that program.
Well, Scott, I feel your pain. I went to Washington State, and our coach just left for Stanford. So I'm sitting here trying to collect my thoughts and get all my emotions intact. But there was a point of the season where we knew that Kyle Smith was going to be gone. He's having too good of a year. Opportunities are going to be out there. Was there a moment where you felt like Danny was going to be gone, or were people under the assumption that he was going to put together two or three years and try to build a program?
Well, you know, it's tough. Like, you know, when you hear the barbarians at the gate at Utah State, and like I mentioned, we've had so much turnover here that you just kind of felt like that's the way it was going to go because we've seen it so much here. There's just not a lot of stability in terms of coaching because Utah State, it kind of is in the pecking order. They get more out of less than anybody else because they don't have a huge budget. They don't have a ton of resources. It's not an easy place to get into. Most teams have to fly into Salt Lake and bus up there. When you get your recruits in, you got to fly them into Salt Lake and drive the hour up north. It's not an easy, it's like Pullman a little bit, you know, it's not easy to get to. And so coaches understand the issue. And so when they have success, I think there's, and I'm not speaking for Danny here, I'm just speculating. But when you do have some success, you worry about how sustainable it is. And do I need to cash out while I can and move on to greener pastures? And so that might be part of his thought process. I'm not sure, but there was a moment when, and I think every Utah State fan starts to get into this mode when all of a sudden the news starts brewing. It's like, oh boy, here we go again. So I would say when he beat San Diego State at home and when he beat Boise State and obviously ended the season with a big win against New Mexico to win the outright conference championship, I think there were a lot of people in that Cache Valley area that kind of felt like, we probably ought to enjoy this while we can. And that certainly was cemented when they beat TCU in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
What can you tell us about Scott in terms of kind of his philosophy with them, with his team, with their approach during games, kind of how he coaches?
Interesting philosophy. He is he's really detail oriented in terms of the fact that he, like, if you look at the games, well, like last game against Indiana, he had two guys that got early foul trouble. And when he got two fouls, he sits them on the bench, and they usually stay on the bench. He's very routine-oriented with his rotations, with his setups. and things like that. His offense is very flexible. This year, he had a great big and great Osabor, so they were very low post oriented. But I assume that that he would adjust based on the talent that he's able to get. I think deep down he wants to run a more faster paced offense than he was able to run this year, just based on the limitations that he had with his roster. But I do think based on his ability to acquire players in NIL, his players, you know, with the collective and the money and the resources available at Washington, I think you'll probably see a more up-tempo, more athletic team than what you saw at Utah State. If you're busting out film of this Utah State team and thinking that's who he's going to have at Washington, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. That's going to be an interesting question to see how that plays out. And what, when he has the ability to really put together a roster the way he wants to put it together and not just cobble something together with a band of misfit toys, what he would envision that to look like. And I think that's, you know, that's something that I don't think we really got to experience here at Utah State. So when he has the ability to really mold a roster the way he wants it, then I think we'll get a better idea as to what he wants that that system to look like.
Scott, that kind of led me into my next question. I was going to ask you about that because I would imagine that Montana State and Utah State, the collective is a bit different. NILs are different. He's making a shift over to University of Washington. He's a younger guy, so I feel like there's time for him to adjust. I'm seeing guys like Bill Self and Nick Saban complain about the climate of college sports. Has he had any interviews or any sound bites where he kind of makes a stance on that whole situation, or are we kind of going to figure this out on the run as we see him try to develop this roster?
I've got about 12 coaches shows worth of interviews with him talking about NIL. Like he is very, he knows the landscape that the world is dealing with, and he's not obviously a huge fan. I don't think anybody's a huge fan, not necessarily of players making money. I think all of us agree that players need to be able to tap into the resources, their name, image, and likeness. But I do think the unlimited transfers and all the other stuff that's going on right now is a bit bothersome to him and frankly, all of us to a certain extent. But he understands that's the world we're living in right now. And so to be successful and to be able to win at a high level, he knows that you need resources. And I think that might be, and again, I'm speculating here. I'm not crawling into his brain, but I'm just speculating. I think that's one of the big reasons why he's taking this job at Washington. First off, his dad was a defensive back at Washington. His sister lives in the Seattle area. He's got a ton of ties. I know he loves that community. So I think that's your number one thing there, but he loved Utah State. He enjoyed Utah State, but he also realized that that Utah State is not going to be able to compete in the collective, and they're not going to be able to compete with bigger schools in the NIL front. And what he did this year might be a bit of an anomaly year after year. So he is keenly aware of it. He's talked about it, and to his credit, he helped raise a lot of money. Utah State's collective and is in a way better situation now than when he showed up. And Danny's a big part of going out there and beating the streets and helping raise a lot of money so that his players could have a little bit more extra money in their pockets. So he understands it. He knows it. He accepts it. I don't think anybody truly enjoys it, but he's keenly aware of it and will do everything he can to help Washington in that area.
My alma mater is Washington. We just saw Kalen DeBoer leave, obviously, to go to Bama. As Bump said, his alma mater is Washington State. They're looking at Kyle Smith leaving today. And we've been having conversations, Scott, about like just what coaching moves look like now compared to when we were in school or obviously long before then. And it is a different environment. And as Bump was asking you about NIL deals, I was wondering, like, is that behind what feels like shifting dynamics in college sports? I don't know. What kind of conversations are you having with colleagues and stuff behind the scenes about like why we're seeing so many coaches kind of, you know, go through this ladder of coaching jobs?
Well, I think it's, you know, you can take it a step further and talk about how coaches are leaving college to go to the NFL.
Right, right.
Because they don't want to deal with it anymore. And I have talked to so many coaches that are just beyond frustrated that they work like crazy to build a roster, to develop a roster. They spend a ton of money in recruiting and resources, build a kid up, and especially at Utah State, you know, that is firmly in the G5 and really no aspirations of making that cut to be one of the upper echelon schools. You know, we're in the world of BYU and Utah right now who are feasting with a ton of resources. And so here comes Utah State, who takes a flyer on a kid, develops him, gets him where he needs to be, ends up being a star, only for a bigger school to come in and say, okay, we see what you're doing now. Here's $250,000, or here's $500,000 off, and they're gone. And that's it. And all your time and your effort and your resources were for nothing to build up a kid who a national letter of intent doesn't mean jack squat these days. And I, you know, look, I don't know if this is coming across like I'm bitter about it. I'm not. I'm just saying that's the, if I'm a coach, I'm doing the same thing. Like if I'm Danny Sprinkle, I'm thinking, why would I put myself in this position where I would bust my butt year in and year out to go out to all these, you know, high school gyms in the middle of nowhere, find some uncut gem, bring him into my program, develop him, turn him into a stud, only to lose him at any given moment. Whereas I could be at the top of the ladder and have all the resources available to me, and then I can be the one poaching a kid from a school, or I can be the one that can develop a kid, make him a star, and then give him the money he needs so he can stay for a 4 or 5 year degree. So, I mean, I get it. And again, I'm not saying that's why Danny decided to do what he did. I'm just saying from my perspective, I totally understand why a coach would leave for greener pastures, to not have to worry about the headaches of this anymore, and to be on the top of the ladder instead of the middle or bottom of the ladder.
Bump and I had so many questions about Danny Sprinkle, and Scott, you were kind enough to join us last minute. We so appreciate it. That was so kind. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it. You'll love him.
Thanks. Before we get to headline rewrites, we did have someone text in. I'm going to guess this is a UW fan, Bump, but I don't know. And they said, how many years before Sprinkle just leaves for a better job after some success at UW? And I understand that feeling for sure. And that's probably how Wazoo fans are going to feel when, you know, y'all get your new head coach. But I don't know. I mean, I think local ties makes me a little more confident.
Yeah. His dad played DB for UW. His sister lives in the area. So there's a connection. I think you brought it up last week. We're like, well, we got to find somebody at the AD spot that has ties to the area. And then my question was, all right, well, what do you sacrifice, like the ties or the resume? Mm-hmm. I think with Sprinkle, you might have found the best of both worlds, man. My man went to Montana State, got it done there, one year at Utah State, has connections to the area. It looks like, or feels like, at least in my opinion, that he's going to be here for a little bit. Now, what's a little bit these days? Like 2-3 years maybe? I mean, that's, and it's changing. We're going to talk about how college is changing later on the show, but it's changing. So I got on UW last week, and it's poking fun, right? You know I got love for y'all, man. But I'm poking fun, and I'm saying, are you're not who you think you are. You know, you're just a tier down. But in reality, it's, you have to change your expectations when it comes to guys coming in and leading your program.
Yeah.
In any sport, because again, in the basketball world, it's the Dukes, it's the North Carolinas, it's the Kansas. Those are the jobs that everybody wants. So what you have to do to maintain your guys, they have to feel 100% supported by admin, by the collectives, and feel like they can support these young players once they start to ball. Because once they start to ball, the money's going to start coming in, and they're going to start looking elsewhere. But that's just where this game is. I'm telling you, can we just do this? Two-year contracts. Like this two-year contract. Sign a two-year contract. Make college sports make college sports what it is. It's a semi-pro league. Mm-hmm. It's turning to a semi-pro league. Two-year contracts. That at least gives you some type of stability in your roster.
We'll talk about this a bit more at 12:45. I just really like the conversation. We are going to talk about both programs, Washington State and Washington Men's Hoops, their new head coaches or their coaching search, as well as the biggest story in baseball with headline rewrites. Let's go.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
And the other bit of coaching news in the state today, just 2 days after the Cougs were eliminated from the NCAA tournament, Stanford has announced Kyle Smith as their next head basketball coach. What's the real headline?
Cougs fans might not be ready to hear this one, but can you blame Kyle Smith?
You can't. He did what he was supposed to do over at WSU. Finishes his career at Washington State with an above 500 win-loss record. Took us to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2008. And WSU tried to keep this guy. It's not like WSU said, all right, we know you're gone. We're not going to do anything. They raised $2.5 million in a retention package. And the situation at Stanford is just better for him and his family. He coached in the area, coached at San Francisco for 3 years over there. Stanford provides housing for his family, so it's not like he has to break the bank, and I'm pretty sure it's a dope house. Mm-hmm. Let's throw that out there. His son has a disability. That Stanford University and the area really support the disability his son has. You don't have those type of resources in Pullman. At Washington State, we know who we are. We are an institution that can find some special times when it comes to teams. Unless you're talking about our road team. Our road team has been vicious for 20 years, but don't nobody watch rowing like that. But you find this group of young men and women for a short period of time, 4 to 5 years, and they move on, just like these athletes move on and they become professionals, or they move on and graduate and start their families and start their careers. That's just what it is at Wazoo. So I think everyone should be appreciative of Coach Kyle Smith. It hurts to see him go. We all knew this was coming. And it is what it is, man. We appreciate your time here. You did something a coach hasn't been able to do in 15 years, man. So big ups to him.
As part of a statement, Kyle Smith added that he knows some people might not understand the decision, but he's appreciative of the opportunity to even have been at Washington State. He says, "We've been loved unconditionally in this community and will always be grateful. I often talk about how my why is to empower people to empower themselves. Washington State empowered me to fulfill my dreams, and it's time for someone else to have this opportunity. Once a Coug, always a Coug."
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Huskies reportedly, actually, no, it's official now. They have hired former Montana State and Utah State head basketball coach Danny Sprinkle. What's the real headline?
The name's Sprinkle, but he doesn't plan to turn UW into a cupcake. Matt's still laughing. It's not bad. It's really not bad.
I forgot about it until now. So much has happened in the last 2 hours.
It's my best work, I think. It really is. I couldn't let the name Sprinkle pass me by. It is a horrible play on words. I'm not proud of who I am with this headline, but I did it anyway. Christian Capel with some information on that deal, a 6-year deal worth $22.1 million. Average pay starts at $3.2 million, gradually increases until $4.2 million in year six. I mean, I think that this is a great fit, and you were talking about it earlier as well.
Yeah, it's a good fit. He's a younger guy. He understands. I'm not saying older coaches don't understand what college sports is, but could you imagine doing things one way for like 20, 25 years, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's changed. And you're at an age, man, once you hit a certain age, it's like you ain't changing much for anybody. These are the things that you believe in. I think that he's done enough on a smaller scale to earn this opportunity, but he's also young enough to not fight the changes as much as an older coach would. No shade to the older coaches, but just like my mom, my dad, and my grandpa, I ain't trying to change them too much because they are exactly who they are. Oh, good for Sprinkle. And all I ask is that he plays Sprinkle Me Man by E-40 the first time he addresses the students of the University of Washington.
I understand that given that he was only at Utah State for one season and given all the coaching moves the state of Washington has seen from both programs, people are a little bit nervous. But those local ties that we talked about with Scott Gerard, Utah State play-by-play man, do make me feel more confident in it. And look, you and I are going to talk about how the state of college sports is just changing. We are just going to see more movement from players and coaches. That's just how it's going to be. But I am encouraged by those ties.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, his sister is in the area, right?
Yeah.
What's it going to be like after a long day, just being able to go somewhere and connect with someone who knows you?
Family.
There's nothing like, whether the highs or the lows, whenever you can connect with someone that you grew up with or that you truly trust, it's a good situation. So I wish him nothing but the best of luck, because I've been on this side of the mountain for a long time, and the last head coach there wasn't getting any type of love. Maybe a little bit of love, but not a lot of love by UW alum. I hope it works out good for my man Sprinkle. Mm-hmm.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three, Shohei Ohtani is scheduled to address the allegations of theft and illegal sports gambling against his ex-interpreter later today. We now have an official time of 2:45 p.m. So what's the real headline?
By address questions, he means release of press release. That's what's going to happen. My initial headline was, if I had to answer really awkward, tough questions, doing it without my interpreter would be a perfect time. But we've since learned that he's just going to kind of say a statement and then kind of move on from it. I got to say, though, I wouldn't have expected many of those questions
to have a lot of details anyways.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know. I mean, we've talked about the different scenarios that people have wondered when it comes to Shohei. We talked about it with Jesse Rogers. You asked him, like, what do you think happened? What did you think of some of those potential things? I feel like a lot of signs point to Ohtani not being as heavily involved as the drama would imply he is.
He's probably not as heavily involved, but I think it's dang near impossible for him not to have an idea of what really went down. His camp fumbled the bag the first time around. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, no, he's just helping pay his homies' debts. Actually, he has nothing to do with it. Old boy's been stealing from him. So this is the move they're supposed to make, man. This is where the language barrier comes in clutch. He sits there and goes, look, I ain't got nothing to say. I don't know what you guys are talking about anyway. Go ahead and let my PR representative go ahead and read this statement. So he's just going to sit there. He's going to be humble. He's going to smile and wave and get up out of there. That's what you're supposed to do because, like you said, they're not going to have all the answers. At least they're not going to have a plan to answer all the answers quite yet. There's still some things that need to be uncovered. My big thing is, I really want to know if Shohei's a gambling man. Is that how you get down, Shohei? Are you at the casino at late nights just betting hundreds of thousands of dollars on red? Let me know, because that goes against everything that I've thought of Ohtani. And I don't know much of Ohtani because he doesn't give us much. You have an interpreter. But this would change the way I think we view him. But as far as him being one of the greatest baseball players of all time, that ain't ever going to change. Mm-hmm. My man can ball. It's just a sticky situation. The interpreter, if he's the fall guy, you take the biggest fall, and I'm sure Shohei will hook you up later in life. It's just, it's interesting, man. I wish that he spoke English and we could just holler at him and have a candid conversation.
Well, and there's since been lots of stuff to come out about the interpreter, too, that I think fairly puts, what's the word I'm looking for? Not honesty or credibility fairly into question. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's fair to wonder if there was some truthfulness there on his part. The only thing I think it's important that his statement do, because I don't doubt that he's going to say I didn't know anything about this, is just make clear what happened and why it happened in terms of the shifting narratives. Because that's what ultimately hurt him, is they initially said, hey, here's the interpreter. He's going to say what happened. And, you know, all Ohtani did was just help him out. And then they said, no, none of that's true. He didn't know about it. Like, if they could find a way in his statement to just make it clear why their story changed, I think that would solve a lot of concern, answer a lot of questions for people. Even if it's a PR, it is quite literally a PR statement. Like, it's your team, it's your version of it. But that's what I think got a lot of people got stuck on, is why did the story change? It's one thing if that's your story. Your story is you didn't have anything to do with it, but why did it change?
Because they messed up. They incriminated their boy. They put Ohtani in the mix. And the fact that this guy who's making, I read, under $100,000 a year to be his interpreter is being able to place all these bets on these games and acquire, what, $4.5 million in debt. Why? Because he's connected to Ohtani. That's what they're trying to do. Cut all ties with this guy and make Ohtani be squeaky clean. I doubt he's 100% clean, but I also don't think he's sitting there gambling on international soccer during the regular season.
Yeah, I also, the bookie knew that he was connected with Ohtani, or at least knew it after one of the wire payments because Ohtani's name was on it. And the report from ESPN said the bookie would kind of want people to think Ohtani was a client. So he at least knew Ohtani was somehow involved.
Yeah, he wouldn't extend that credit. That's what made it illegal, is that you're extending credit to place bets. When you go to casinos and stuff, you got to have that money down and put it on the books. It's different there. So why do you extend credit to this guy? Because he's connected to Ohtani and you believe that Ohtani can have his back.
Again, as Curtis mentioned, that him speaking is scheduled at 2:45 p.m. today. So that'll be during Wyman and Bob. You'll get an update for that one. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. The NFL's introduced a new rule for 2024, and it's already controversial. Don't go anywhere.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
We are going to start with our look around the NFL, looking at a new rule introduced to the NFL. The league is banning the hip drop tackle beginning this season. And Bump, it is already very controversial. Manuel Acho says there's no such thing as a hip drop tackle. It's just a tackle. Meanwhile, Torrey Smith says, what's a hip drop tackle? Anyone tackling someone bigger typically drops their weight. Folks have been doing this with their dad, uncle, big brother in living rooms for years. It's natural to do that when tackling someone bigger than you.
It is natural. And it's dangerous. You're 25 more times likely to get injured with a hip drop. And the problem is that your ankles get involved. We've seen broken legs when it comes to this. The data doesn't lie. 25 times more likely to get injured. You're never going to be able to make football completely safe. But when you're seeing numbers like this, I think you have to address it. You can always do what you did with the pass interference call, right? Being reviewed. You did it for a year, didn't work out. Okay, we're going to get rid of that. You can do the same thing here. So people just getting all crazy about this. Like, look, just give it some time. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Here's the other thing, too. It's not going to be hard to identify a hip drop tackle. I've heard that, too. It's, oh, how are you going to know? It's simple. You drop your hips, your feet are in front of you while that person you're tackling is moving forward. It's a hip drop tackle. And also, there are ways to tackle somebody who is running forward. Another thing, you've already lost if you were behind the ball carrier. He's going to fall forward regardless. If he needs three more yards to get a first down and you are behind him and you tackle him with 3 yards to go, he's probably still going to fall forward and get that first down. It is what it is. Defense, I know it's hard. It's tough on you, and they're making you change the way you play the game. But we know the NFL is all about the offense, and this is another indication of that. But the numbers don't lie. It's dangerous.
Kyle Long, now with CBS Sports, by the way, said, I'm happy the hip drop tackle's out of the game. I'm all for the league trying to minimize the potential for serious injury. The league has a 100% rate of injury, but the hip drop tends to be the cause of injuries that are harder to come back from, meaning, you know, you're talking about like Achilles and stuff like that. Good job, league. Someone responded in all caps and said to like what proof of injuries from hip drop tackles, and Kyle Long responded and said, I just spoke to Delanie Walker not an hour ago. His career was ended as a result of a hip drop tackle. Also, why are your words in all caps?
And they looked at 20,000 tackles. 20,000. They did some research. This isn't like just a reaction thing. It's real, folks. Just give it a chance. If it don't work out, then the league will get rid of it.
That's the thing. I understand that defensive players in general are going to be upset and angry the more that their side of the ball and their potential play is legislated. I would also be frustrated. I mean, how many times have we complained about a roughing the passer call where it's like that was roughing the passer? Like, you know, when you're the worst team too and you're just trying to win, like, God, how infuriating that would be. And yeah, now DBs are going to be like, how do I tackle a tight end? How do I tackle a running back that's plowing through people? But I don't know, man. I mean,
you can. That's what gets me is they're acting like it's impossible to tackle somebody who's bigger than you if they're running away from you. You know what you do? You wrap them up like those cowboys do the cattle, man. Get that last boom around them ankles. You clip them. Us little dudes know how to do this. Now, I didn't do it in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to tackle nobody in the NFL. But there are ways around it. But I understand the frustration. Just don't act like it's impossible to get a guy down now.
Someone said just what the NFL needed, more subjective, unreviewable penalties that gift the offense 15 yards and a first down. Although,
you know what? Who is that? 509? I want you to run through this office right now and let me hip drop you. And let me hip drop you and you feel that. It's not going to feel good.
Rich McKay, who's the NFL competition committee chairman, also told NFL Network the replay assistant will now be permitted to correct certain types of incorrect calls, like roughing the passer and intentional grounding. I think this is a really good move. I don't know what it's going to feel like in a game. Maybe 3 months into the season, I hate it because it takes up a lot of time. But there have been many, particularly, as I mentioned, roughing the passer calls where I think there's no way. There's no way.
Opportunity to get it right.
Yeah.
I'm all for attempting to get it right. If it don't work, you can always go back to the old way.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't resist change. We already seen it enough in college sports where the old heads all, hey, shouldn't be getting paid. It's a privilege to play. Yeah, it is a privilege to play. And it's a privilege for y'all to make money off of these dudes, too. So just give it a chance is what I'm saying.
Well, and it kind of reminds me of that time when they wanted pass interference to be reviewable so coaches could throw challenge flags. This way, it just takes out the number of times they're going to actually review that, and it makes only a replay assistant, mm-hmm. can check it out. So I don't mind the approach at all. Let's see if it sticks. 49ers GM John Lynch said Brandon Ayuk is not up for trade. And contract talks with the star wide receiver have begun. Ayuk's response to his Instagram story is all pictures. It's little emojis with a translation. It's a dollar sign, a talking sign, a bull,
a poo emoji, and then someone walking.
Money talks, as Bump said, bull blank walks.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm all for a guy like Ayuk fighting to get his money. Because he came in the league, he has some talent, but I don't think anyone expected him to be this. And his journey's been crazy to get here. You got one opportunity, if you're lucky, to really grab the bag as an NFL player. If you are one of the greats, you'll have several opportunities. So you do what you got to do, Brandon Ayuk. You make sure you get paid, you go out there and do your thing.
Can I just say something? And I'm asking, technically a representative of the wide receiver contingency. Why do wide receivers have to be so cryptic? Like Brandon Ayuk, first of all, didn't have to say anything.
Just say what you mean.
Just say what you mean. He doesn't have to say anything, but if you want to, that's completely fine. You can if you want to, but then to put out specifically like emojis, like you want people to talk about it and figure it out and try to piece it apart and figure out what it is. I like Brandon Ayuk. I just, y'all being wide receivers are so cryptic all the time. I swear to God.
You know what you sound like right now?
What?
The old person not just resisting change.
That's just
how these kids communicate.
It's wide receivers in particular, just very mysterious.
Do I have
cryptic.
To tell you why again? I'll tell you why again.
Okay.
No other position relies on other people's success for their success more than a wide receiver. O-line has to block. Center has to snap. QB has to go through the reads. QB has to make the right throw. Coverage has to be right. Then we make the play. So we feel underappreciated at times.
Okay, that's fair.
But I'm with you, though. We be tripping sometimes. We be tripping.
You just be a little extra. And I love extra, right? Like, I love mess. I love being extra. I'm not necessarily against it, but I will call it out and say that it's a little
cryptic. It's a personality trait. It's something we do.
The Chiefs traded, last story here, franchise-tagged cornerback L'Jarius Sneed to the Titans. Kansas City will receive a 2025 third-round pick and will swap picks in this year's seventh round with the Titans. A good deal for both teams. Sneed, obviously not like the best corner in the league, but was really solid for the Chiefs last year. However, they have a young defensive back room and, you know, a lot of money that they're giving Chris Jones. Going to need to pay some other guys, so time for them then to move on from at least one player.
It's good business by the Chiefs, honestly. At first, they give them permission to seek out a trade, then they franchise tag them in March to make sure that they get something good out the deal. I mean, this business in the NFL, you're right. Sneed, not one of the top five corners in the league, but he did have a heck of a year and can help any young DB room. I think it's good for both teams.
And this is always what happens, too, when you start to have a really successful team, is everyone's going to be like, where's my piece, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to happen on any team no matter what, but you start getting players that get a lot of recognition, you aren't going to have money for everyone.
No. Nope.
And once that money goes to Chris Jones, once you look at some of your other DBs and think, we really like this guy, we're going to hang on to him and not let him walk, then that's just this kind of consequence. It's nothing personal. I
hard to
imagine.
Keep the band together.
It is really hard to keep the
Justin
band together.
Justin Timberlake left.
And look
but
at him now.
They're back.
But he's doing a reunion with them now. Yes.
Hey, you see he's the only one wearing a different color suit, though. I'm like, man, you can't even look like the squad.
Because you know why? He's got that wide receiver energy. He still wants to be the superstar, and he still wants all the attention.
And he is.
But here's the thing that not enough people talk about. J.C. Chazet also had a great voice.
Yeah,
JC could belt it out.
I think that JC, in his mind, thought that he would be the star and he would be the main dude. And it's not that Justin can't sing. Justin can sing. He can dance. He's a performer. I get it. Team Britney, but I get it. But I think JC was a little overlooked. It was like Justin took all the stardom. And
Well, because he had the star power. And JC messed up when he made that song, Adidas. Remember that song he made?
No.
Adidas.
Oh, yeah.
It was the corniest, wackest. Yeah. Like,
JC,
come on, dude.
Checks over stripes, man.
Justin Timberlake with NSYNC reminds me. So I was watching a TikTok the other day of Jared Jeffries, who's a former NBA player. He was on the Wizards with, like, Michael Jordan. And he said at the 20-minute mark prior to, like, tip-off, the whole team would run out. They'd go through their layup line. But Jordan would stay back in the locker room and wait a couple more minutes and then would run out by himself. And Jared Jeffries asked Michael Jordan, why aren't you running out with us? He goes, because they're here to see me, man. They're not here for you. They're here for me.
The honesty about it. The honesty about it kind of is like, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Bump and I started this hour with a conversation about college sports with Scott Girard. We're going to finish this hour with a conversation about college sports. You got NIL deals, college coaches bouncing, including going to the NFL, but some amazing players and talent. Why does college sports look the way it does today? That's next.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Talking Seahawks in less than 15 minutes. ESPN's Brady Henderson joining us. Before we get to that, though, sticking with college sports. You got a lot of change to college sports. The transfer portal is different. You got NIL deals. At the same time, you're getting some amazing players. We just talked last week, Bump, about how wide receivers are more NFL ready than ever before. So why does college sports look like it does today? Let's start with the coaches bouncing. It feels, and maybe I'm being biased because there's so much local examples, it feels like we are seeing college coaches leave to other schools more often and leave to the pros more often. To you, when you look at it, why? Like, what are some of the factors behind that?
Well, the main thing is coaches aren't able to kind of control their rosters the way that they've been able to control them in the past. Nick Saban, perfect example. Why has Nick Saban been able to be so successful over the past 15 years? He's been able to assemble some of the best rosters in college football. And he knows that as soon as you sign on this dotted line, this letter of intent, you are here for at least 5 years, unless you want to transfer. And if you do transfer, you know what you have to do? You got to go down to a lower level if you want to play automatically, or you have to sit out a year once you transfer. So I was part of that. I wanted to transfer from Wazoo, I believe my sophomore year, because I wanted to play a different position. Best decision I made was to stay there. I wanted to transfer, but then I go, all right, what do I have to do if I want to transfer? Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to go play in the Mountain West, or I got to transfer somewhere and sit down for a year and not get the reps that I want. I go, you know what? Best decision for me is to stay here. So now it's different. Now you can transfer, and now you can be enticed to transfer by the dollar signs. So these coaches are looking at these rosters and saying, this is the roster on September of 2023. I don't know what it's going to look like in January of 2024, and I want to win. I want to sustain this type of winning. Where can you sustain it, or at least know, or you have more control of your roster? It's in the NFL. NFL, you sign a 2-year contract. Only way you get out of that 2-year contract is if that team is done with you, or they trade you, you get released. You're not going up to John Schneider and saying, I don't like it here, I want out. Mm-hmm. Some people can do that. That's the 1% of the league. These are guys like the Aaron Rodgers who have all this leverage. That's why it's changing. But college sports is also changing. It's because these guys have more control of their futures. And while we were doing our break, I'm thinking about what angle I want to go with this. And I really believe that there is more pressure on these big institutions making all this money to share. And why is there more pressure to share? Because people have access to a whole bunch of information now. Could you imagine just like in the 80s? Let's go back to the 80s, where not even in sports, just in regular community issues or around the country, you had to read a newspaper. There are only a couple sources that you got this information from. You had to go to a library, go pick up an encyclopedia. There are ways you had to really work for your information, where now you just sit there and flip open the phone. And these kids are growing up in this era, and their leaders, the people who are fighting for these kids to get a piece of this pie, growing up in this era, and they have access to all this information. So now you got this kid, this 5-star who's sitting in California, and he's saying, how much are these guys making off of me? Mm-hmm. And there's a person who's just a bit older than me who's fighting for my rights, and I got access to all this information. Yeah, we should get a bigger piece of the pie, and it applies more pressure to everyone who's making these decisions to share the revenue, because they're making a lot of money. I just pulled up Ohio State last year, their athletic program, $251 million. You got Texas, number two, $239 million. Alabama, $214 million. You mean to tell me that the guys who are responsible for driving in the bulk of that money, the superstars, the household names in their region, aren't going to get a piece of that? That's where the problem starts. It affects the rosters. Coaches don't want to deal with that. You go to the NFL to where you have an idea of what your roster is going to be.
Well, and I think that, too, when you look at NIL deals, I think a lot of people point to it and go, this is why you shouldn't pay athletes. It ruins everything. Money messes everything up. Like, there, first of all, was money in college sports long before NIL deals were official, and you could actually get that. I also have no problem morally, ethically, with athletes being paid via third parties for what they're able to do. I mean, I was at UW when Jake Locker was there. Everyone and their mom had a number 10 jersey. It didn't have his name on the back, but everyone knew why they were doing that. Jake wasn't getting a penny from that. Like, it's, we can all think of examples when you think, man, this guy's driving so much money to this school, or these athletes in these two programs in particular with men's hoops and football drive so much money to these schools. And for the vast majority of the existence of college sports, we're not seeing a dime outside of here's your scholarship. Oh, and by the way, you can't major in exactly what you want because athlete is your sport is a priority. But again, you can have something that you think is morally right and still encounter obstacles with it that you want to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it is fine for athletes to be able to make money off of their brand while they have it. I also don't love some of what college sports is now. So what do I do with that? I don't want to undo NIL deals. You can't. But I also I also would love for athletes to stay at schools longer. And you've talked about, having been a former athlete, that how much that develops you as a person too.
Yeah. Washington State helped me a lot in my development, and the coaches I was around, the players, my teammates, the people I encountered, it sets you up. The success, the failures, it all prepares you. So that's one piece I think is missing, is kids learning that sometimes you just have to weather the storm and stay put and fight through some things. And, you know, maybe there comes a time where you do have to make a change because you try to sit there and fight through and weather the storm and it just didn't work out. I just think it gives kids such an easy way out, to where once you get into this real world, ain't no easy way out. And some people have the connections in the network to kind of just bounce around and do what they want to. But most people, man, you got to sit through some things. You got to work a job you don't want to work. I worked jobs I didn't want to work until I figured out, okay, what do I really want to do after football? It teaches you some discipline and just how to be mentally tough, yeah, man. So they're going to miss out on that. But they also will have an opportunity to give themselves such a head start in life by collecting all this money and setting themselves up. So if it doesn't work out in athletics, they at least aren't stressing about making money as soon as they get out of college.
What are some of your biggest questions when it comes to this Seahawks team as they are right now on March 25th? We've got a few for ESPN's Brady Henderson. He joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.